Beruchim Abaim Rabotai, welcome to another edition of our Thursday night class. We have just completed Sefer Shemot. And we begin, of course, the book of Vayikra. As those of you that have been listening to the Shi'urim, you have noticed that I am looking for signs in the Perashiyot themselves in order to guide us through these interesting times, very challenging times. If you remember, we started our explanations in Parashat Ki Tisa. It was over there that the Torah told us about a Negev. And the Torah told us, "Velo yeh behem negef," that there will not be a negef. Then the Torah gave certain advices. The Torah said to make a sink, ba'asita kiyor. And I mentioned how many times we're visiting the sink, more often than other times, washing our hands. The Torah was saying, "Virahatsu yedehem," which clearly is the hygienic behavior today. And the pasuk says, "Velo yamutu." And right after that, the Torah mentioned the ketoret, kahlecha samim. And we discussed at length in our talk in Parashat Ki Tisa that the ketoret, as the Arizal brings down, is very, very beneficial to read many times during the day and at night in order to ward away the energies that bring magifot, plagues. I recommend it to all our listeners to recite the ketoret, to read it, to study it, to learn it. And there is great benefit. If the Arizal said that this is a balm against the magifah, as it worked in the times of Moshe Rabbeinu, and it worked later on, like we quoted from the Zohar, in the times of Rabbi Aha, and there are many, many examples. Even today is Rosh Chodesh Nisan. We started reading the Korbanot of the Nisi'im. And if you look at the Nisi'im's Korbanot, it says, Kaf Ahat Asara Zahav Melea Ketoret. It says, it was filled with Ketoret. And then, what is it saying? Bandwidth limited encoder may reduce. Okay. So it says that they brought ketoret, and then it says par ehad. And the Midrash learns in Parashat Tetzaveh that the ketoret was more important than the par. After all, the ketoret is written first in the Parashah of the Nesi'im. So now we're starting to read every day the Parashiyot of the ketoret. Let's see if we could do something here, Rabotai. We're getting messages. Oh, that's turning the screen around. That won't do it. Let's see if we can make... Oh, it's working. It's just that it says something about the bandwidth, but okay. All right, so you see that the ketoret is very, very crucial. I'm reading. We read about it in Parashat Ki Tisa when all this started in our region. And we're reading about it every day now, and I think everybody should read the Ketoret every single day, and you should read the Parashah of the Nisi'im. I think it's a zechut. Every time we read that they brought a Ketoret, it's a benefit to us, to push away Magifot. I also found that the place where they brought the Ketoret in the Mishkan, or in the Beit HaMikdash, was called the Mizbah HaZahav, the Mizbeah HaZahav, the golden altar. It was a small altar which really was really exclusively used for ketoret. That's why it's called also the Mizbah HaKetoret. But since it was plated in gold, so they call it Mizbah HaZahav. I saw one of the, maybe it's the Kabbalah, the Zohar writes, so why do you call it a Mizbeah? Mizbeah comes from the word Zebach. Zebach is to slaughter. I understand the Mizbeah HaChitzon, there they slaughtered animals. So it's called Mizbeah, Melashon Zeba. But You're not slaughtering the ketoret. The ketoret is a bunch of spices that you're just grinding them. And the Mekubalim write that it's called Mizbacha Ketoret because it has the ability to be Zobeyach, the Mazikim. It has the ability to be Zobeyach, to slaughter the Satan and all the energies that are the cause of Magefot. Mizbacha Ketoret is the Ketoret that does the Zibiha to the enemies. So therefore, we felt that was a very, very strong correlation. The Torah was giving us guidance. Wash your hands, that's the kiyor, and then it talked about the ketoret, which is the sigula against magefot. I must point out that in that same parasha in Ki Tisa that we mentioned, it was after Chet Ha'Egel, and it tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu moved his tent away from the Mahaneh. Moshe Rabbeinu took his tent in isolation. He moved away from the Mahaneh, which was a remez, obviously, to the isolation. He quarantined himself. And at the end of the parasha, talked about how he wore a mask. He wore a masveh. And these are all nice to the mazim, although in a regular year, we never would make the connection. But because these things are very real to us, so when we see it in the parasha, these ideas already take on relevant and current meanings. Also, we don't think it's a coincidence. Last week in the parasha, although most of us didn't read it in public, in the synagogue, we read it at home. We didn't have minyanim. And we read parashat HaChodesh. And over there, the Torah clearly says, Ve'atem lo tetze'u ish mepetach beto. The Torah warns Bnei Yisrael for that given amount of time that they were not to leave their homes. And everybody already is aware of the Balaturim. It's been going around. And the Balaturim said that the final exile will be like the original exile. And just like there was a quarantine period before Yitziat Mitzrayim, Ve'atem lo tetzu ish mepetach beto, so that will happen again before the final redemption. There'll be a concept also, Ve'atem lo tetzu ish mepetach beto. Again, we read that Balaturim every year. The Balaturim doesn't excite anybody last year, and because nobody has any idea what he's talking about. But again, under the circumstances, these Hadushim all of a sudden, you know, arouse us. Is this it? It could miss me what he's talking about. Well, it's definitely more clearer this year than it was last year. So, on that theme, last week when we read the Parashiyot, it was a double header by Yakel Pekudeh. So usually in Seudah Shlishit, I give the Derash. I was not able to give the Derash at the synagogue this week, but I did give it over the Shabbat table with my family. And I said over from the Slonim Rebbe in his Sefer, and he actually has a talk on the last pasuk of Parashat Pekudeh. And the last talk, the last pasuk is, Ki anan Adonai ala mishkan yomam, the cloud of God rested on the mishkan during the day, ve'esh tiye laila bo, and at night, that cloud turned into a pillar of fire. Le'enei kol bet Yisrael, and it was visible to all Bet Yisrael. They were camped around the Mishkan, so they would see the fire at night. And the last two words in the parasha is Bechol Mas'ehem, in all of their travelings. And that's how Shemot leaves us, with the word Mas'ehem. Now Rashi is dealing with a technical problem over here. Rashi's concerned that the clouds and the fire did not appear on the Mishkan when they were actually traveling. The cloud and the fire really appeared when they settled, when they landed at their destination. So that she's questioning the word Bechol Mas'ehem sounds like during their travelings, but that's not the case. It should have said Bechol Haniyatam at the time that they traveled. So that she comes along and he says, it's okay, even you can call the place that you settled a masa, because it is from there that you are going to travel to the next destination. So even the place that you settled is the masa. It's the preparation for the next station. I'll just quote you that she's Lashon. And she says, Lefi shemimakom hahanaya hazru v'nas'u. From the place where they camped, they eventually would travel again. Lachen nikri'u kulam masa'ot. And as she quotes, where were these masa'ot, these travelings? V'chen elim mas'eh. That she ends Parashat Pekudeh, which is really the end of Sefer Shemot, with the reference to elim mas'eh, the travelings of the Jewish people in the Midbar. Which really, if we're going to study the Torah chronologically, that's really what happens. Because let's just review Shemot. Sefer Shemot is the Jewish people went down to Mitzrayim. They come out of Mitzrayim. Now they're in the Midbar. They do Het Ha'egel. Then we have an interruption where they're building the Mishkan. But basically, the story continues from here that we started to move from one station to another station. Now, we go to Vayikra, Sefer Vayikra, which is all the laws of Korbanot and a lot of the Halachot. So we lose some of the narrative at this point. I mean, we don't have the story anymore. Now we're learning the laws of the Korbanot, the important laws of the Korbanot in the Beit HaMikdash. And then we go back to Sefer Bamidbar, and then we pick up the travelings. And then at the end of Sefer Bamidbar, in Perashat Mas'eh, which is rightfully named, the Perashat of the travelings, the Torah tells us that the Jewish people traveled different station stops throughout the 40 years in the Midbar until they got to Eretz Yisrael. Now, the Slonim Rebbe, he made a point that it's reminding us this end of Parashat Pekudeh, Bechol Masayim, that every Jew also has his travelings. And the 42 travelings, that Jewish people went to 42 stations in the Midbar. If you count from when they left Mitzrayim till they got to Eretz Yisrael, that's 42 stops on the train, on the travelings that they went in the Midbar. And the Slonim Rebbe said that every Jew also has 42 personal travelings that he goes through in life, which represents his tests and his nisyonot and the different things that he goes through from when he's, bar mitzvah until he goes through his life. And every time he goes through a different situation, it's considered a masa. So he talked about the personal masa'ot, ayin sham. It's a very, very, very important piece that everybody, I think, can relate to. Everybody goes through different journeys in life, and everybody has their own journey. But if you map it out, it'll be 42 journeys, keneged, the 42 masa'ot of Bnei Yisrael. That's how he ends. That's how the Torah ends Sefer Shemot. So I said, if the Torah is hinting to us here, the Torah is telling us, go to Parashat Mas'eh. Bechol Mas'eh, there's something in Parashat Mas'eh. So I opened it up. And the first thing I saw, which is beautiful, there's a mention of Pesach in Parashat Mas'eh, which is Nogaya now. The Pasuk says, Vayis'u mir'amses, that's in Egypt, b'chodesh harishon, b'chamisha asar yom l'chodesh, here we are, b'chodesh harishon, we celebrated that today, on the 15th of the month, that's Pesach, m'machorat ha-Pesach, after the day after the Pesach, the day after they brought the Korban, yatzu b'nei Yisrael b'yad ramah l'enei kol Mitzrayim. Jewish people left the next day, Mahorat Pesach. Now, there's a Gemara in Berachot. We just learned it in the Daf HaYomi. The Gemara is on Daf Tet. The Gemara brings a contradiction. In one Pasuk, it seems that the Jewish people left Egypt in the evening. Like it says in the Pasuk, Hosi'acha Adonai Elohecha Mimitzrayim Laila. So we left in the Laila, we left in the evening. This Pasuk in Parashat Mas'eh says, Mimachorata Pesach. Mimachorat means the next day. They left in the day. So the Gemara is questioning, when is it? Did they leave at night or did they leave in the day? And the Gemara says that it started, the Ge'ulah started at night. There was some form of Ge'ulah at night and then was completed in the day. So both Pesukim are correct. We call that Athalta de Ge'ulah. The beginning of the Ge'ulah started at night. And I questioned which part of the Ge'ulah started at night. I understand the Ge'ulah in the day. That's when they went out of Mitzrayim. They left. They were free. They finally were able to cross the border, to leave the confines of Egypt. This is understandable. Yatzu b'nei Yisrael, as the Pasuk says. So there was a Ge'ulah definitely during the day. But what does the Gemara mean that there was a Ge'ulah also at night? So we once said the following Dirash. In Mitzrayim, there was two types of bondages. We were in two forms of slavery in Egypt. One was the obvious. That's called Shi'bud HaGuf. That's the physical backbreaking labor, the torture that they put our bodies in from early in the morning to late at night, building buildings on quicksand, making our own straw, Jewish babies being used as bricks, the mental torture that they put us through. This is Shi'bud HaGuf. The Jewish people, their bodies were racked. So when we left Egypt, there was clearly a redemption of the body. Our bodies were given back to ourselves. But there was a greater shi'bud that's not so apparent, but clearly existed. Egypt was the most decadent, the lowest place on earth at the time, and maybe of all time. Mitzrayim, the society, was very, very decadent, very, very degenerate. It was very, very low. Besides the fact that they had Avodah Zarah on a high level, but they were an immoral people. The Torah talks about the To'avat Mitzrayim, the repulsive culture of Mitzrayim. The Torah refers to it as Shikutzehem, Gilulehem. These are the most negative terms that the Torah can use about that culture. And the Tum'ah in Egypt was very, very immense. There was sorcery and magic and witchcraft. All this is a great Tum'ah, and we live there. Just like we know this well now, that one can catch a virus from bad air, or he can contact a disease from touching something or touching somebody. So there also is spiritual contagions that a person can catch. And if he's living in a society like Egypt for two centuries, you cannot imagine the damage that would have to the soul of the Jewish people. Just by being there, that's called osmosis in science. It just seeps into the system. And over the course of time, the Jewish people's souls were actually taken into bondage and slavery. That's without a doubt. The Zohar HaKadosh says that the Jewish people reached the lowest level, or I should say the close to the lowest level, 49.999, which is really just a decimal away from the highest level of Tum'ah, which is level 50. And if God didn't take us out at the final moment, there would not be a chance for the Jews to recover, which means, you know, a person, God forbid, has a disease, so the doctor says, okay, we caught it in time, but if you didn't come here soon enough, it would have taken over your body, and you reach what's called the point of no return. We almost reached the point of no return. Not for our bodies. Our bodies were tolerating it. But the neshamot, the spirit, was not. So there was called shirbud hanefesh. And that's why, incidentally, God willing, we'll read the Haggadah Shel Pesach, we make this point when we say, Hotzianu me'avdut lecherut me'afela le'or gadol. We mentioned two different points here. Avdut le'chayrut, slavery to freedom, that's the body. But then we mentioned from darkness to light. Darkness to light is a spiritual concept. That means when the soul was pitched in darkness, choshech afela, and all of a sudden, le'or gadol. Or gadol is the gilui shechinah that revealed its way at Kiryat Yamsuf, and then, of course, 50 days later, when we were able to elevate ourselves to Matan Torah. So we went from afela, from darkness of the soul, to Or Gadol. That's a different type of redemption, and I'll argue that that is the main redemption that we must point out. The question is, when did the physical redemption begin? Well, that's obvious. That began in the day when we physically left. Ge'ulat ha'guf is what it says in Parashat Mas'eh. Mimachorat ha'Pesach yatzu b'nei Yisrael. It's true. B'nei Yisrael physically left. But when did the ge'ulat ha'nefesh begin? That began at night. It was on that night in Mitzrayim that the Jewish people all of a sudden did not have a night like that in 200 years since the times of Yaakov Avinu. Everybody was with their families and they were eating the Korban Pesach, which was a mitzvah deoraita. Keep in mind, on that night, they ate matzah. There was a chiyuv to eat matzah on that night. And it was on that night that they had morah gadol, as it says in the pasuk, zugidu shechina. It was on that night that they started to feel the breaking out of the darkness of the spiritual galut. Ge'ulat ha'nefesh begins at night. That's the key. And that's, today when we think about Egypt, that should be our great focus. The Ge'ulat ha'nefesh. Because Baruch Hashem, we're free people. We don't, Baruch Hashem, experience Shabud ha'guf. But we live in a country, in Galut, that also has its cultural problems that threaten the Jewish soul. So we always have to remind ourselves of the ge'ulah that God gave us to protect our neshamot. I once saw a beautiful derasha. We say in Haggadah Shel Pesach, the famous ma'aseh, Berabbi Eliezer, Berabbi Yoshua, Berabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Berabbi Akiva, Berabbi Tarfon, Shayu Mesubin, Bibne Berak, Bayu Mesaperim, Bisiat Mitzrayim, Koloto Halayla. And the Darshanim said, the five rabbis, they were saying Dirashot and Yitziat Mitzrayim, Koloto Halayla. Koloto Alayla, of course, you don't have to tell me when they were saying the Derashot. We know when the Seder is. When is the Seder? The Seder is in the night. Explanation is, it's telling us not when they gave the Derashot, but it's telling us what they were talking about. What was their main focus when the great Tzaddikim sat down? Did they focus on Ge'ulat Yom, which was Ge'ulat Guf, or were they focusing on Ge'ulat Layla, which was Ge'ulat Nefesh? Which aspect, which angle of Yitziat Mitzrayim? Kol oto ha-layla. They were talking about that layla where we got free from the kilipot of Mitzrayim, where we got free from the spiritual bondage, where that great light of a Kadosh Baruch Hu shined on that night. And it says when the light of Hashem came, all the tum'ah dissipated. And when the tum'ah dissipated, our soul was able to get a rejuvenation. The Benu Ari writes something incredible. He says that this event of Ge'ulat HaNefesh with the great light actually recurs every single year on the first night of Seder, on the first night of Pesach. On the first night of Pesach, the Benu Ari talks about a great light that comes in the moment we come at the Seder and we pick up the first course. It talks about a gadlut, a certain greatness, gadlut rishon, a great light that normally does not come into the seudah that quickly. It takes time for that light to enter. But because God wants to relive for us what happened in Mitzrayim, and in Mitzrayim the light came suddenly and pushed away all the Tum'ah, the same thing happens on Leil Seder. Be'oto alayla. That's why the Seder is at Layla. Because that's the main thing that we have to commemorate. So when I opened up Parashat Mas'eh, I was excited because I saw already a mentioning of Mitzrayim, which that's what we're talking about now. And we were able to say here an idea of what our focus is. I then looked at the Malbim, our great rabbi, the Malbim that we love. The Malbim over here, Ele Mas'e B'nei Yisrael, he says, why did we have to go through all these Masa'ot? We'll count them in a minute. We'll actually read it together in a minute. But it's 42 Masa'ot. What was the purpose? Why couldn't we just go from Eretz Yisrael from Mitzrayim to Eretz Yisrael? Why can't it be a direct flight? They have direct flights today. Why do you have to go and stop? This is the local. This is worse than the F train. There's 42 stops from Mitzrayim to Eretz Yisrael. Why such a long journey? Now, when I saw that question, I thought there's a simple answer. Maybe because we did the Chet HaEgel, so we got delayed. But the Malbim puts that aside, and he makes it as if, no, this was necessary regardless. And he said like this, Ya'an, I'm quoting his words, Shebimitzrayim ishkiyu me'od betum'at Mitzrayim. Like we said, there was a lot of tum'ah. Ve'lo yachlu lehittaher memena, and it wasn't so easy to purify themselves from it. Which means, when a person has a certain, disease, so it takes time for the body to flush it out. So you can't just say, okay, we left Mitzrayim, we're rehabilitated. No, it would take a lot of time for us to get rid of all the tum'ah that we acquired during those years. Valken, hini'am b'midbar 40 shana. It seems the midbar was a certain type of therapy for the Jewish people. V'sablu kama tila'ot, different tests that they went through, it was to purify them. It was to clean themselves until they purged from whatever they had in Mitzrayim. V'nahag Hashem imahem, he says a beautiful mashal, k'asher yisadir harofe, like a doctor, le'ish asher hudar tachat kav ha'mashveh be'ezor ha'ham. He says, let's say you have a guy who lives in a place that has a hot climate. He lives in the south. He lives in Florida. He's used to 80-degree days. And all of a sudden, he has to move to New York. And the New York winters are brutal. He never experienced anything less than 40 degrees. He never experienced snow. He never experienced sub-zero. He never experienced a blizzard. He's living in Florida. What does he know? So the doctor tells him, listen, you're very fragile. You cannot go straight to New York through the winter. It's too extreme. So therefore he tells him, you know what? You start moving up the coast. And, as you move up the coast, the temperature gradually gets a little colder. You move to North Florida. The northern part of Florida is not 85 degrees every day. It's 70s. I lived there for a little while. Then move up the coast, move to Georgia. Get to Georgia at 65 degrees. Then move a little more closer, North Carolina. 60 degrees, then move to Washington, so on, until you get to New York. So take your 42 stations, but by the time you get to New York, you're acclimated. That's the mashal of the Malbim. He doesn't say Florida, I'm saying that. But the point is, the mashal is that the Jewish people in Mitzrayim, you can't go from Tum'ah to Eretz Yisrael, which is Kiddushah. It's too rash, it's too extreme. So Borei Olam was a doctor, and he had the night of Echa. He tells them, okay, you got to go slow. You have to move slowly in each place. And in each place, there was a certain tikkun that the Jewish people were able to enjoy in that place, where their bodies, or I should say their souls, were able to release some of the tum'ah that they picked up. And then they were able to go to the next place. And that's what he writes beautifully. He makes a great diyuk, the Malbim. We don't learn enough Malbim. We should really learn more of the Malbim. It's incredible. Ele mas'e b'nei Yisrael asher yatzu me'eretz Mitzrayim. These are the travelings of the Jewish people that left Egypt. He said, that's not the right way to write the pasuk. It should say, Ele mas'e b'nei Yisrael, on the way to Eretz Yisrael. When you talk about a traveling, the main part of the traveling is where your destination is. And here the pasuk is telling me, these are the travelings of b'nei Yisrael asher yatzu me'eretz Mitzrayim. You're going backwards, that they came from Egypt. The Mas'ot are going forward, and the Mas'ot are not going back to Egypt. So he writes, and I'll read it the way he writes the question. Ele mas'e b'nei Yisrael asher nas'u le'eretz Yisrael. She nesi'a tomar tamid el mashe elav. The nesi'a always is forward. Lo mimashe mimenu, not from where it came from. But it's coming to say over here a big chidush. It's coming to say that Ele b'nei Yisrael, shebechol masa u'masa yatzu yitzi'ah hadasha me'eretz Mitzrayim. That every traveling, they left Mitzrayim again. So we didn't leave Egypt once, Rabotai. I'm saying Hadush tonight. Somebody asked you in the street, how many times we leave Egypt? You tell them 42 times. They say, who said that? You tell them Rabbi Mansour said it. Where did he see it? He saw it in the Malbim. That's what it says over here. Ele mas'e b'nei Yisrael. Every time b'nei Yisrael made a journey, a little of Mitzrayim left them. A little of Mitzrayim was shed from them. But finally got to the last Masa, Hazak Baruch. Now they were able to get to the new climate, to the new region of Kiddushat Eretz Yisrael and the Tahara. So the Masaot are a process. It's a process, a gradual process. Now, that's typical Malbim. We're used to these Malbims where he explains everything pshat. The words, how the words fit in, how everything makes, you know, logical sense. He even brings beautifully in the beginning of the piece, he says, why does the parasha even have to tell me all the names of the stations? It gives me the names of each place. Vayis'u b'nei Yisrael min Ramses, from Ramses. Vayahanu b'sukot. From Sukkot they went to Etam. And from Etam they go to Migdol. What do you have to tell me names of the places for? So he quotes the Harambam in Moreh Nevuchim that says, Shaya tzorek gadol l'azkir ha-masa'ot. Torah wants to write the places because nobody's going to believe it. Nobody will believe that the Jewish people were able to live in the Midbar with no water, with no sustenance, with no food, with no kiosk, with no malls, no ability to have any physical existence. You can't live in the, you would not be able to live in the Midbar for one day. Forget about 40 years. There's weather conditions. It's freezing at night in the Midbar. And as cold as it is in the night, that's how hot it is in the day. And there's snakes, and there's scorpions, and there's all wild animals. And there's nothing to eat and nothing to drink. How long could you survive? So the skeptic would say, this Harambam writes, that when it says the Jews were in the Midbar, they were on the outskirts. They weren't in the Midbar. There's villages on the outskirts of the Midbar, and that's where they traveled, where there was people, where there was food, where there's civilization, where there was population. So Harambam says, that's what the Torah says. Don't think that. We're going to give you the names of the places. And look on the map. You'll see these places are dead center in the middle of the Midbar. They're not on the out, on the side side streets. In order to show the miracle, how God was able to sustain the Jewish people in a place that really had no chance to exist. So that's why it says the names of the place. Again, beautiful. And I expect the Malbim to bring that down because that's a beautiful, that's pshat. Now, and maybe this is the first time for me at least, although I read a lot of Malbims, the Malbim does something out of his normal way. I always believe Malbim is coming to explain the pshat in the pisukim, the words. Then he writes, V'hamekubalim katvu. Hey, V'hamekubalim. I keep in mind, the Hafetz Chaim, alav shalom, used to have a set of the Malbim on his shelf in Raran. We were there last year, exactly today. Bayamim Ma'am Bezman is last year. Today is the 1 year anniversary that we visited the Hafetz Chaim's yeshiva in Radin. And we were right there by his grave and by the yeshiva. And he had a set of the Malbim, and he would boast. He would say, I bought this set from the author himself. That means Hafetz Chaim was proud of that purchase, and that he was able to have the you know, a direct sale from the author, the Malbim himself. Anyway, he says, "Hamikubalim katfu shemem bet masaot ele hayu mechuvanim neged shem shel mem bet." Oh, oh. There's a shem. In this shiur, we talk about the shemot a lot. So we all know the shemot: Yud Kevavke, mercy, and Elokim is judgment. And we talk about the different miluim of it, numerical values of it. Tonight, the Malbim makes us aware of a new Shem. It's called Shem Mem Bet, the name of God of 42. And he says that, oh, that's the secret of the 42 stations. Each station stop is connected one of the letters of the 42-letter name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay? We're going to have to find out now where this name is. Where is the Shem of 42? Then he writes, Ubiyoti beHarson. When I was in Harson, Harrison. This is not Harrison, New Jersey. This is in the Ukraine. There's a city in the south Ukraine by the Black Sea. So the Malbim says, when I was there in Harson, Nishalti Ma'amar Pili'ah. I asked the rabbis over there about a wondrous statement, Nitfas, that was printed, B'Shem Maharash Ostropoli. He says, I saw a wondrous Ma'amar brought down from the great Sadiq, HaKadosh, Rabbi Shemshon Ma'astropoli, Hashem Yimkom Damav. And he says that he saw brought down Le'omro be'et hamagefa. Oh. That God forbid if there should be magefa, lo takum pa'amayim tzara, but if there should be magefa at a certain point, Botai, this over here is the drink of the tzaddikim, the cinnamon and the ginger and the cloves and some water. If this doesn't scare away this virus, nothing will. We're drinking L'Shem Shamayim. Mmm! Delicious. Anyway, we have over here an unbelievable hiddush. That even the Malbim went and he researched Le'omro be'et hamagefa. That if you read these 42 masa'ot during the time of the magefa will stop or it'll be protected. Unbelievable. It needs to be researched. Reading these 42 you're reading the train schedule. You're reading the North Jersey Coast train schedule and Elberon, Little Silver, Long Branch, Hazlitt. How could reading these 42 stations not for us to know? Once Rabbi Shemshon Masopoli said this is Sigula against the Magifot, we accept. And he quotes, and I have it here. Something to talk about here. I have it here in my Haggadah Shel Pesach. This Haggadah was given to me. One of the members of our class, her husband, Mr. Shrone, may live and be well, helped sponsor to print this Haggadah Shel Pesach with Rabbi David Abu Hasera. And his Rebbetzin offered it to me as a gift. I don't understand too much of the words here, but nonetheless, I believe it's a holy book. Anyway, when I opened the book, to my amazement, I see here that he has a whole page on Amirat Seder Mem Bet HaMasaot. Incredible. The recitation of the 42 Masaot. And he writes that it is brought down that one should say it specifically on Erev Pesach. And now we're learning it that we might even must say it before Erev Pesach because we're going through now a Magifah. And this is the way it's written. I'll just give you, I'm going to read the whole thing as a matter of fact. It's going to take 5 minutes for me to read it, but I'm going to have the Kavanah of the Shem Membet, and I'm going to have the Kavanah in order to take away the Magifah. And I'll have all our readers in mind. Kadnetalu Yisrael Mirat Meses, La Yad'un, Iyintelun Nesukot, Ole Kelata, Ole Moserot, Ufakid Madeberana de Ame, Diyintelun Nesukot, Mesukot La Yad'un Iyintelun Le Etam, Ole Haserot, Ole Tarach, Ole Achion Gaber, Ufakid Madeberana de Ame, Diyintelun Le Etam, Meetam La Yad'un Iyintelun Nefia Hirot, Ole Rimon Paris, או לעברונה, או להרי העברים, ופקיד מדברנה דעמד ינתלון לפי החירות, מפי החירות לידעון ינתלון למרה או לתחת, או לערבות מואב, ופקיד מדברנה דעמד ינתלון למרה, ממרה לידעון ינתלון לאלים או למקלות, או לעלמון דבלטיימה, ופקיד מדברנה דעמד ינתלון לאלים, מאלים לידעון ינתלון לים סוף או לחשמונה, או לפונון, או לעיי העברים, ופקיד מדברנה דעמד ינתלון לים סוף, מים סוף לא ידעו ינתלון למדבר סיני או לחרדה, ופקיד מדברנה דעמד ינתלון למדבר סין, מדבר סין לא ידעו ינתלון לדופקה או ליוטבטה, ופקיד מדברנה דעמד ינתלון לדופקה, מדופקה לא ידעו ינתלון לאלוש או לריסה או לאובות, ופקיד מדברנה דעמד ינתלון לאלוש, מאלוש לא ידעו ינתלון לרפידים או להר שפר או לבני יעקן, ופקיד מדברנה דעמד ינתלון לרפידים, מרפידים לא ידעון ינתלון למדבר סיני או לקרות התאווה, או לחור הגדגד, ופקיד מדברנה דעמד ינתלון למדבר סיני. למדבר סיני לא ידעו ינתלון לקרות התאווה לחור הגדגד, ופקיד מדברנה דעמד ינתלון לקרות התאווה, מקרות התאווה, לא ידעו ינתלון לחסרות, או לטרח, או לעציון גבר, ופקיד מדברנה דעמד ינתלון לחסרות, מחסרות נטלו לרתמה. מרתמה לא ידעו ינתלון לרימון פרס או לעברונה או להרי העברים, ופקיד מדברנה דעמד ינתלון לרימון פרס, מרימון פרס נטלו ללבנה, מלבנה לא ידעו ינתלון לריסה או לאובות, ופקיד מדברנה דעמד ינתלון לריסה, מריסה לא ידעו ינתלון לקלטה או למוסרות, ופקיד מדברנה דעמד ינתלון לקלטה, מקלטה לא ידעו ינתלון להר שפר או לבני יעקן, ופקיד מדברנה דעמד ינתלון להר שפר, מהר שפר נטלו לחרדה, ומחרדה לא ידעו ינתלון למקלות או לעמוד בלטיימה, ופקיד מדברנה דעמד ינתלון למקלות, במקלות לא ידעו ינתלון לתחת או לרבות מואב, ופקיד מדברנה דעמד ינתלון לתחת, מתחת לא ידעו ינתלון לתרח או לציון גבר, ופקיד מדברנה דעמד ינתלון לתרח, מתרח נטלו למתקע, במתקע לא ידעו ינתלון לחשמונה או לפנון או לעי העברים, פקיד מדרונה דעמה תינתנון לחשמונה, מחשמונה נטלו למוסרות, ממוסרות נטלו לבני יעקן, בבני יעקן נטלו לחור הגדגד, מחור הגדגד נטלו ליוטבטה, מיוטבטה לידו נטלון לעברונה ולהרי עברים, ופקיד מדברנה דעמד ינתלון לעברונה, מעברונה נטלו לעשון גבר, מעשון גבר נטלו לקדש, מקדש נטלו להור ההר, מהור ההר נטלו לסלמונה, מסלמונה לידו נטלון לפונון או ליעי עברים, ופקיד מדרונה דעמד ינתלון לפונון, בפונון נטלו לאובות, מאובות נטלו לעיי העברים, מעיי העברים נטלו לדיבון גד, בדיבון גד נטלו לעלמון דבלטיימה, ועלמון דבלטיימה נטלו להרי העברים, ומהרי העברים נטלו לערבות מואב, ברוך שם כבוד מלכותו לעולם בעד. We end this reading by saying ברוך שם. Bless me the name of God, because we just now went through 42 stations, and each station is corresponding another letter of the 42 letters of Hashem's name. Now, what is this 42-letter name? So, I will remind you that it is in our Siddur. If you open the Siddur in the beginning, for those that say the beginning, before Baruch She'amar, and most of the Siddurim, there's about 25 pages that has a lot of prayers. It's important to pray from the beginning of the Siddur. You shouldn't start 30 pages in, just like you wouldn't start a book 30 pages in. And, you know, you wouldn't start a song 3 minutes in. You want to hear the whole thing. And you want to read the whole thing. In the beginning, there's a prayer that's called Anna Bechawah. That prayer is 7 lines. I'll say it to you. Anna Bechawah, Gidulat Yiminecha, Tatir Srura, Kabel Rinat Amecha, Sagebenu, Taharenu Nora, Nagi Bor, Dorshi Yehodecha, Kebabat Shomrem, Barechem, Taharem, Rahameset Katecha, Tamid Gohlem, Hasin Kadosh, Berob Tubcha, Nahel Adatecha, Yahid Geel Amecha, Pene Zokre Kedushatecha, Shavateru Kabel, Ushma Sakatenu, Yudea Ta'alumot, and again we say Baruch Shem Kibod Malkuto Le'olam Ba'ed, because that's the name of God. How? I just read to you 42 words. And the name of God of 42 comes from the Rashid Tevot of those 42 words. That's why if you look in your Siddur, next to Anna Bechawah Gidulat, Yeminecha Tatis Srura, you'll see Rashid Tevot. Aleph, Bet, Gimal, Yud, Taf, Tzadi, Sofit. Which is the Rashid Tevot of that first line, which is 6 words. 7 lines, 6 times 7 is 42. And if you take the Rashi Tevot of all these letters, each one of the lines, you'll have now Shem Mem Bet. And every station that the Jewish people traveled, says the Malbim from Rav Shem Shom Astropoli, amazing. He says they traveled and it was connected another letter. So, which means like this. When they traveled to the first station, they traveled to the Amses. Which letter is that keneged? Well, the first letter of the Shem Mem Bet is Anna Bechawah, Anna, Aleph. So therefore, when they got to Ramses, it's keneged the Aleph. Now, by the way, in this beautiful Haggadah, Shel Pesach that I have, it says, Kadnetalu Yisrael Ramses, and next to Ramses, there's a big Aleph there. By the way, you know what? Rabotai, since we have this video here, I'm going to offer you some show and tell. Let's see if it works. I try to do this as best as I can. Does it come out good on the screen, Joe? It's a 10-second delay. Oh, you'll see it. Okay, there's a delay here, but I just want to make sure. More important that you see this than you see my face at this point. Does it show up good? Okay, well, if you look at your screens here, I put the 42 Masa'ot, the chart, and if you look closely, you'll see the letters corresponding each one of these travelings. So if you look at Ramses, that's the first one. Joe, you want to point to Ramses? Where's Ramses? Is this Ramses? Right there. Good. So Ramses, you see an Aleph. And you go to Sukkot, you see a Bet. And you see Etam is a Gimal. Anna Bechawah Gidulat. Piyahirot, there's a Yud. You get to Mara, there's a Taf. And you get to Edima, there's a Tzadi. So therefore, you see, actually, it's beautiful the way they did this chart. It's 7 lines, 6 masa'ot on each line, which is 42 masa'ot. And each masa' corresponds one of the letters of the membet, the Shem Membet. Now, the Malbim over here had a question on this Hiddush of Rabbi Shemshon Mastropoli, and he offers an incredible resolution. Here's his question. The way Rabbi Shimshon writes the travelings is, Kadnetalu Yisim Ramses, when the Jewish people left Ramses, La Yad'un, they didn't know. Iyin Telun Lesukot, Ole Kelata, Ole Moserot. They didn't know what the next station stop is. They didn't know, should they go to Sukkot? Should they go to Kehelata? Or should they go to Moserot? They had a Safek. They didn't know which place. And their Safek was only those three cities. They didn't know what the next place they should travel to. Ufakid Maddebarana Da'ameh. Maddebarana Da'ameh is Moshe Rabbeinu, the leader of the nation, told them, Dintinun Sukkot. You go to Sukkot, finished. So the Malbim asks, what was their Safek? What do you mean they didn't know what? And even if they had a Safek, why was the Safek limited to whether they should go to Sukkot, Kelata, or Moserot? He says something brilliant. He says, Bnei Yisrael, Bnei Yisrael knew that they were traveling to each station based on the Shem Membet. How did they know that? Because later on the Pasuk says, Al Pi Hashem Yahanu. The Malbim says, what does it mean, Al Pi Hashem? They were traveling according to the name of God, according to the word of God. They knew that each stop was connected to one of the Shemot. So they knew the first stop, Ramses Aleph. Now, the Hiddush is, if you look in these 42 letters, they knew the next station they go to has to be connected to Ot Bet. If you look at these cities that we have in front of you, there are few cities that correspond Ot Bet. For example, if you look at the city Kehelata, well, Kehelata is on the 1, 2, 3, the fourth line, which is connected the word Barechem, Barechem Taharem. There's a bet over there. So they don't know, should we go to Sukkot, which is connected the bet of Anna Bechawah, or should we go to Kehelata, which is connected Barechem, or should we go to Moserot? Well, Moserot is on the next line. Hasin Kadosh Berov. Well, that's connected Moserot, is a bet. So therefore, their Safek was only on cities that correspond the letter Bet. An amazing Hadush. So therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu had to come along and say, I'll tell you the answer. You're going to Sukkot. Okay, so they went to Sukkot. That's connected to Bet. Now, look at the next one. Misukkot. Now they're going to Sukkot. Now they know they got to go to a Gimal. Anna Becho Wa Gidulat. Now, they don't know which Gimal they're going to go to, but they got to go to a place that's a Gimal. La Yad'un, they didn't know. Iyin Tadun Le Etam. Etam is the third station, which is Anna Bechoa Gidulat. That's a Gimal. Ola Haserot. Where's Haserot? Haserot would be a few stations down. On the third line, it's Na Gibor Dorshe Na Gibor. Well, that third line is connected Haserot. So therefore, they had a Sefik where they should go to Haserot. Or maybe to another place called Tarach. Where's Tarach? Tarach is at the end of the fourth line. Barichem Taharem Rahames et Katechat Tamid Gomlem. At the end of the fourth line, the station is Tarach. So that could also be a Gima. Or Le'etzion Gaber. Or for that matter, Etzion Gaber, which is on the sixth line. Yahid Ge'el Amecha Peneh. Yahid Ge'el. That station would be Etzion Gaber on the sixth line. So therefore, they only had Safek on the cities that corresponded the next letter that they knew was of the Shem Membet. Ufakid Madabarana De'ameh. And then, of course, the leader, which is Moshe Rabbeinu, told them, go to Etam. So they went to Etam. Now, I'll give you another example that the Malbim says. Sometimes they had no Safek. For example, here it says, Mehaserot Netalu Liritma. from Haserot, they went to Ritma. They didn't have any safek. When they got to Haserot, they knew from Haserot, the next station is Ritma. Why didn't they have any safek? Because when they got to Haserot, they were on the third line, which is Na Gibor Dorsheh. So they got to Haserot, it's a Gimal. Na Gibor, they know the next station they got to get to is a Dalid. Now, if you look on the chart that's in front of you, there's no other station of these 42 that can they get a Dalid. Which means in the Anna Bechoach, in those 42 letters, there's only one Dalid. There's only the Dalid of Na Gibor Dorsheh. So therefore, they knew that the only place they can go is to Ritma, because there's no other place that is connected to Dalit. So therefore, the places that only have one letter, there's no Safek Bechlal. They knew to go straight. The places that had multiple of the same letter, they had to ask Moshe Rabbeinu, which one do we go to? And Ufakid Madabarana Da'ameh, the leader of the nation, would tell them where to go. The Malbim has one more nuance to this. It says, over here, I'm just reading the Lashon of the Malbim now. V'amarti pirusho, she'achar she'ayu ha-masa'ot mechuvanim neged shem mem bet, hayta kol masa' mitzuyenet be'ot achat min otiyot shel shem mem bet. Each place was corresponding one of the otiyot. Ukshetesaden mem bet otiyot al shem mem bet masa'ot. He says, make a chart like we have in front of you. Put the names of the Membet Masa'ot, six on each line, and put on each Masa, the Otiyot Keneged, the Shem. V'kashen nomar nem shiyisru Masa mechuven neged Ot Bet. Like we just said, the first Masa was Keneged Bet, they found a couple of options. V'lo yad'u le'eze makom yisru. V'chen etam haserot, tarach, etshon gaver, those are all Gimals. Piachirot, Rimon, Peretz, Avrona, Haravarim. The Mefarshim say that when they got to one of the travelings, there was two letters. But since that first letter was used already for a different place, they didn't have a sefek on the second one because there was only one of those letters left. So basically, they only had a sefek when there was multiple letters in those places still available to travel to. Oh, so now at least we see a beautiful Malbim. And he reveals to us what the Shimshon Astropoli said, that this recitation that we just did is good to push away Magifot. The question is, why? That the Malbim, you know, he doesn't tell us what they told him in Harson. I saw brought down from Sefarim Kedoshim. I hope I can explain this in the most easiest way for us to understand it. Just to make it a little more palatable, this inyan of the sigula, that I recommend all our members should read it, get a hold of it. Specifically, you could read it tonight like we just did, read it tomorrow, read it in the homes of the sick people, read it at Pesach. Be'ezat Hashem, and next week we have another sigula from Rabbi Shimshon Astropoli that also is valuable against Magifot, but I want to finish with this one first. The Arizal writes that where does Magifot come from? The Magifa, he explains, there's a certain energies that are called Kelipot. These Kelipot were around from the beginning of the creation of the world after the sin of Adam and Rishon. And these Kelipot are generally suppressed. And like any creature that has life, the Kiddipot also need to have life. And they live off of certain energies of Kiddusha that they were able to latch on to. Maybe because of Averot, some of our holy energies fall into that area, and they're able to hold on to it. And sometimes when those Kiddipot escape, of course, everything is done from God. He allows them to escape. So that creates magefot. And obviously, it's very dangerous, as we see. So the Ben Ari says, you need to pull the Kiddusha out of the Kiddipot, to pull that Kiddusha out somehow, and then it dies. Without going into it too deep, every Shem that we know has a function. The Shem Membet, its purpose is to lift Nitzotzot, holy Kiddusha, out of the Kiddipot. The Membet Shem is like an elevator. It lifts, it raises whatever we're trying to lift, whether we're trying to lift from one world to another world. In this case over here, the Shem Membet has a tremendous power. The Anna Bechoach through the Membet Masa'ot have a power to remove Kiddusha and leave the Kiddipa, which incidentally, according to what the Malbim explained, was exactly what the Jewish people were doing in the Midbar. They still had some remnants of the Kiddipot on them, and every time they went to a certain place, they were able to extract the Kiddusha in that place, and they would leave the Kiddipa that they had from Mitzrayim, and it would die. And it took them 42 stations to finally subjugate the Kiddipot completely, in order that their spiritual consistency would be balanced. So therefore, there's great, great value to read the Shem Membet through these masa'ot, because that's what the Jewish people were doing. You know, a masa also is a load. A masa, you know, you hold it on your shoulders, a masa. The Haidar writes that that's what they were doing. They were loading themselves with nitzotzot of Kiddusha and leaving back the Kiddipot behind. The Shimshon Mostropi doesn't explain why we read it in Aramaic. You know, we could have read it in Parashat Masreh, it's Hebrew. Why read it in Aramaic? And the Mefarshim explain over here as well. This I saw brought down in Sefarim. From Harav Nino. In the Sefer Emet Li Yaakov, that he brings this down. And he says that Lashon HaKodesh, the Hebrew language, that is obviously where the Kiddusha is on that side. The Kiddusha stands in front of the Lashon HaKodesh. It's a holy language. Whereas in the back of Lashon HaKodesh is Targum, is Aramaic, and that's where the Kiddipot are able to hold on to. They're not able to go into the Lashon HaKodesh. That's too holy for us. You know, there's a custom, it's a law, that every Friday we read the Parashah Shnayim Mikra B'Had Targum. You know, Shnayim Mikra, we read two Hebrew and one Aramaic. The law says, Batil Barov, that if you have something and you nullify it in the majority, so it becomes nullified. So by reading Shnayim Mikra B'Had Targum through the Parashah, we're actually taking the Kiddipot that are on the side of the Targum, and we're able to nullify them in two Lashon HaKodeshes. Two against one, it's Batil Barov, and it pushes away the Kiddipot from the person. It gives the person the protection. That's why the Gemara says, whoever reads Shnayim Mikra B'Had Targum, Arichim Yamav U'Shnotav, because it's also a Sigula against Magifot. Tomorrow, read the Parashat. Tomorrow's Parashat Ma'ikra, read Shnayim Mikra B'Had Targum. So therefore, specifically, the Shem Shor Sopoli said to read it in Aramaic. So here we're trying to push away the Kiddipot that are coming as a result of the Magifa. So by reading the Targum, that's where they are. So these holy words of Targum are able to push away the Kiddipot that are on in that side, or that territory, we'll call it. And by reading it in the order that we have, it's Al Pi Hashem, we're activating this holy name. Al Pi Hashem Yahanu. So it was Al Pi Hashem, because they were following Al Pi Hashem. The Malbim then writes, but it also says when they were traveling, Al Pi Hashem Biyad Moshe. What is it? Al Pi Hashem Biyad Moshe. Because they knew that they were going to a letter that followed the letter before. Al Pi Hashem, it's the Pi Hashem. But they needed Moshe to tell them which city corresponds that letter, because sometimes there were multiples. So therefore, it's Al Pi Hashem Biyad Moshe. Like it says in the Pirush over here, Ufakid Madabarana de Ahmed, at the way to the Madabarana de Ahmed, the leader of the nation, gave them guidance. So very appropriate that at the end of Parashat Pekudei last week, where all the simanim that were giving us already, we got the ketoret, we got the kiyor, we got the quarantine, and then the last word was Mas'ahem. Go to Parashat Mas'ahem now. In Parashat Mas'ahem, you're going to see another segula against Magifot, and sure enough, here it is. Finally, before we end tonight's session, we don't want it to end, but all good things have to come to an end. He says something amazing here, and I don't have the full clarity. Maybe some of our members will make analysis on it. It's the Malbim right in the beginning of Mas'er, Perek, Pasukhe. He questions, why does it have to go through the Mimbet Masa'ot? So he told you the Rambam, so you'll believe that they were actually in no man's land. Or according to Shimshon Mastropoli, you need to go through these 42 Masukas, the Skeneged, the Shem Mimbet. Incidentally, the custom of the Syrian Jews is when we read Parashat Masa'ot in the summer, sometimes we read it alone on a Monday and a Thursday, for example, when the Parashiot are separate, we read all the 42 parashiyot in one aliyah. I'm sorry, all the 42 masa'ot in one aliyah. And I once asked Hacham Yom Tov Yedid Alav Shalom, we used to learn upstairs in Nachi Yezer, and he verified that's the minhag. And when I asked him why, he said, Shem Membet. You don't want to separate the Shem Membet into different aliyot. When you're reading a Shem, you have to read the whole Shem straight. So therefore he said the custom is to read the whole aliyah in one reading. Anyway, at the end over here, the Malbim writes that he says the Torah is writing the 42 Masa'ot. He says, "Shezer romez gam mashi yeh kodem ha-geula ha-atida." This is hinting what's going to be at the end of the final Geula. Dichtiv, it says, "Veveti etchem el midbar ha-amim." At the end of time, the Navi Hosea prophesies the Jews are also going to be in the Midbar. And the Torah wants to give you guidance from our parasha of Mas'eh to know about the future destination of the Jewish people in the Midbar. Uchtiv, like it says, V'olachti ha-Midbar. And he writes that at that time, the Jewish people will be bodedim lebadam yoshvim be'eres siya. That at the time of the Geula, the Jewish people will be bodedim. Well, I don't know if the Malbim means this, et bodedut, echaya sheva badad, this badad that we're now in quarantine. Or maybe this is a practice that just like at the time of the Jewish people left Mitzrayim, they needed to pull away from the environment. So Borei Olam says you need to detox from the environment a little. The environment of the culture is very, very toxic. A lot of things started to fall apart, and even in this country, a lot of morals fell apart. They just kept pushing the envelope worse and worse and worse. And Borei Olam said already that the air, not the physical air, the spiritual air is very, very, very dangerous. Therefore, you got to get in and breathe the Jewish home air a little. Get out of it because we're falling. The neshama, although the goof is strong, but we celebrate Geulat HaNefesh. And for Geulat HaNefesh, that has to be done in a hermetically sealed environment. That's why the Jewish people, even though they were in Egypt, Geulat HaNefesh begins when they have to go into their house that night. They went into their homes that night. Lo Tetzi'u, Korban Pesach. That already is the beginning of Geulat HaNefesh. And after Geulat HaNefesh comes Geulat HaGuf. So maybe now we're preparing Geulat HaNefesh that we're put inside in the sealed environments of good Jewish homes with proper Jewish values. And Baruch Hashem, we're off the street for a couple of days. Already our minds are a little clearer. We can see things a little better with the purposes. And our prayer is, like we say, Ki meset echem me'eretz Mitzrayim, Ar'enu nifla'ot, amen ve'amen.